Now, we've been busy with a series known for love. I'm just doing a part five today, and it's called The Weapon of Love. Who experienced the weapon of love this morning? Come fight for you. Okay, four of us, five, six. Oh, yeah, well, that's good. That's good. But I just realized again this week, and I'll get into a couple of details later, but how the weapon of love, that Christ comes and God comes, but he comes not the way the world fights. And he fights, and his heart is always founded upon love and fighting through and for love. Now, the last time I preached on two things. I mentioned two things that I believe is important in this season. And now I understand more clearly why. The first thing is, hey guys, we need to have faith. Look to your neighbor and look them in the eye and say, have faith. Have faith. Have faith. God showed me a picture of rainbows, speaking of God's promises, and I sensed, he said that this is a time for promises to be fulfilled. But it was not only a cute, nice word. It was almost not a reprimand, but there was an unction, there was an urgency. We need to stand, for this is a time for promises to be fulfilled. If you've given natural birth, you would probably tell me that the last couple of pushes is maybe not that easy. Unless it was a supernatural childbirth. But sometimes with the promises of the Lord, it is that we need not lose heart. It's that couple of meters to go in the comrades, Mihan will be able to tell you not to give up. And in fact, then just to push through and finish the race. And so I believe that the Spirit encouraged us not to lose faith and walk in unbelief. And then also, Edna saw something that week in intercession, that some of us, there's a river of the Lord. The thing that the Holy Spirit is doing amongst us or in my life. But there's a couple of us that's walking against this flow of the river. Upstream, just forcing ourselves upstream. Now, I love upstream in the world against the enemy's plans. But not against the Lord's plans. And so, some people were walking upstream. And I just sense that the Lord is calling us to yield. Let go. You're like, oh no, but where's this going to go? God knows. And so those are the two things that I believe is still applicable in this season. And then last week, beautifully, Johan did a really brilliant sermon on just our purpose in life. And so I've already uploaded the link for the small group leaders and sent it to one or two guys. But if you want to, if that's something in your season, like, Lord, what's the purpose? What is going on, Lord? Then just ask for me and please go listen to that sermon. Today is again a message of encouragement, hopefully. I saw yesterday, somebody wrote, apparently Samuel Johnson said the following, people need to be reminded more than they need to be instructed. Oh, just a moment of conviction in my own home. But so this morning, I don't want to come with an instruction. I just want to remind you. Sometimes I need to be reminded of who I am in Christ. I need to be reminded of my true identity. I need to be reminded of why am I doing what I'm doing. I need to be reminded of how I can be changed in encountering the Lord's Holy Spirit and His Scripture. Sometimes, even in this week, I had such a tough time, and I would just lift up the Scriptures and just read the Scriptures. Just read. Just open it up where last I was reading in Luke, and I just kept on reading. And it just invigorated me. It just brought back a zeal. It just brought back a peace to my soul. And so, this morning is just to remind us in the battles we're facing, just remind us of a couple of truths. So who wants to be reminded this morning? Are you open for being reminded? Great, great. So we've been talking about known for love. This is Shofar's prophetic theme this year, and it's quite wide, so it's really lekker to build out a couple of things. But this morning, the message is obviously birthed out of my own struggles and my own tensions I really experience. But we want to start off with a foundation, and it might be a foundation that you're thinking like, really, Retief? But I believe it's good to have a handle and to keep the right handle. And when Johan shared this message this morning, I realized this is why this is the foundation for this morning's message. The foundation for the things that the Lord wants to just remind us of. Now you'll see there, John 3:16, who knows that off heart? All of us. But to who of us has this maybe somehow become commonplace? Just like read it. I've heard this million and one times. And so it just become a bit commonplace. the effect, the oomph, the magnitude, the immenseness. I don't have bigger English words. I've got a couple of Afrikaans ones, but it's not applicable. But the immenseness maybe of this sometimes escapes us. And so I wanted to start at the right foundation as we're going to trust that the Lord encourages us this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish. Please repeat after me. Shall not perish. Shall not perish. Who this week felt like, man, I think I'm going to perish? Any of you? Wasn't that bad? Okay, great. So there's two or three or four. But sometimes life just squeezes you hard. Now, there's a spiritual reason for that. I'm not going to get into the technicalities now, but it's not just life that happens. It's a spiritual battle that happens, and you get squeezed hard. Your emotions suffer because of that. Spiritually, you might suffer, and then unfortunately, even physically, you might suffer because of the squeeze in some seasons of life. And to be honest, sometimes I feel the squeezes are more than the not-so-squeezes of life. But I'm heading home. Who's coming with me? This is not home. Not soon. I've got a couple of things to do. Me and my family is a couple of things that we need to finish first. But I'm heading home. Eventually, and in the world's will, I'm heading home. I just thought of it this week. Have you ever thought of heaven and how pure it's going to be? No filth, no perversion, no lustful things, no hatred. Just for a moment, think how pure, sinless, pure. Guys, even in this moment, I'm just like, spotless, pure. Man, there's a part of me that really longs for that. But that's home one day. It's not now. But in the meanwhile, we need to navigate and to know how to deal with the pressures. When we get squeezed, when we get attacked, when there's battles, how do I deal with it? And in the same sense, how do I become more Christ-like? And so, I'm trusting that the Lord will come and encourage us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. And so the fact that Christ was sent so that He can die and redeem us all through faith so that we can have eternal life, all of that was done through the motivation and act of love. So that sowing, whom Johan referred to, that massive seed that was sowed, the perfect seed, God Himself in the form of His Son, sowed, was an act of love. May I ask you just to repeat, because I think in the next couple of months, we're going to say this a lot. Just say, act of love. Act of love. I believe the Lord's going to stir us, that we move in acts of love. That we fight in acts of love. Jesus, help us that we fight in acts of love. Because, as I said, this was not birthed out of any perfection. In fact, it was birthed out of so much imperfection in my own life. And so we know that this love is an agape love. It is a love that comes of God, a way that only God can love and love through us. And it is one that is unconditional. And God gave His Son as an act of love. And when we do so, we are expecting a harvest. Have you answered it? So God sowed. His sowing was an act of love. Do you think He's expecting a harvest? He's expecting a harvest. And if ever there was somebody with wisdom in sowing, would it not be our Father? Have anybody ever thought, man, was that really a good idea? Or was that idea good enough? Who's ever looked at, let's be honest. Come on. This is church and all, but let's be honest. Have you ever looked at the world and thought, was that seed enough? Have you? Of course. Well, at least I would have. It is a lie. It is a deception. But still, if you look at the brokenness in the world, you might think, whew, Lord, miskien nog enetjie. But no. Praise God. It's not another seed necessary. But I want us to be reminded through our spirits that the one seed that was sown was enough. And it will yield the harvest that He entitled and decided upon. It will yield the harvest. But we need to take that by faith in our own lives, time and time and again. You can go to the next slide, please. So what was this mission that Christ, he was sown, he was sent as a son, but what was his mission? Just quickly, without looking, what was his mission? Reconciliation. Skip in the title. To save the lost, yes. Friendship. Glory to God, yes. Why was the seed sown? What was his mission? What was Christ's mission? Healing. Paid the price for our sin. Who's still glad that he did that? I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful. Has this changed? Has the mission and the reason why he was sent, has it changed? No. Does it sometimes feel like it's changed? In other words, I'm not seeing the fulfillment of that in my life. Yes, on a bad day, that's very honest. Yet if I grab hold of it, if I remind myself of the truth, if I'm in the scriptures, if I'm sowing the truth, I'll realize, no, that seed is still as applicable. It is still as alive. It is as powerful, yielding fruit upon fruit upon fruit for what it was sown in love. It has not changed. I want to declare over your circumstances the reason why Christ, I want to declare over unsaved family members. I want to declare over unsaved colleagues that really you have a burden for. I want to declare the reason for the seed that was sown has not changed. The mission of the seed has not changed. In Jesus' name I declare the mission of the seed has not changed. Of our children, the next generation, I want to declare the mission has not changed. The mission has not changed. So it's the same for me, but it's also the same through me. What do I mean with that? It's like he's going to love on me. It was an act of love of saving me, but he's going to use me, and that seed will multiply through my life, albeit through preaching or just high-fiving. Just an awesome testimony. It's not about me. The word says, let your right hand not know what your left hand is doing. So please hear the context of this. But just the other day, we went for breakfast with Chris and Lindy and just had to connect. We haven't connected in ages. And so we connected. Afterwards, I just had an unction. We need to pray for you guys. And so we did it in Melkbos in the parking lot, at the car, in the day. Praise God, we can do that in South Africa. And so I didn't shanda Klipart to freak out the people and draw attention. We just said, like real charismatics do, lay hands on them, thinking it's weird, but laying hands on them and started to pray for them. And so the car God obviously came along, expecting something in return for not knowing what car is mine. But anyway, and so just praying for them, we stood still and the car God stood there. And then as we finished praying for them, I walked up to the car God, gave money, said, this is for all of us. And she was just crying. I'm like, this is quite a good, a fair amount of money. Just a joke. And she said, thank you for this, but I actually want to thank you for the prayer. And I'm like, really? She was standing there and she was just crying because we had prayed for other people. And she sensed the presence of the Lord. And just maybe the love, whatever, and it's not about us, but just whatever God was doing there just touched her life. More than the money that she put in her pocket. And she said, and obviously, then the door was open. I said, well, how are you doing and what's wrong? And she told me her story and I could then pray and lay hands on her and love on her. And so why am I saying this? Because I believe it's the same for me. Christ had to do that for me this week, but it can also be through me. Act of love. Weapon, the weapon of love. What he, Jesus, came for, the Spirit is still here for. I'm going to repeat that a couple of times. Make it part of your diaphragm. Make it part of your spirit, man. What Jesus came for, the Spirit today is still here for. Just imagine that moment, that fresh, perfect moment. Mary got to the grave and the grave was empty. And the power of his resurrection became evident and powerful in this life. Through the Spirit, started to manifest in this world. Christ has died now. He's rose again from the dead. And that power, that authority has been granted and given back to him. And now all men can be saved by faith in him. Just think of that powerful moment, that realization. The Messiah has come. Maranatha, he came. It's still like that today. I believe it's as fresh and as powerful through His Holy Spirit today. Do you believe that?
It's as if we saw him shout out freedom for argument's sake on the cross, 3 days later, rising from the dead, seeing him, realizing what he's done, and today the Spirit is still fulfilling that mandate and that mission. The Spirit is also Christ's Spirit, the Word says. So amen. I think that's the foundation. Why did God send His Son? We mentioned a couple of things, and there's a couple of other things that I'm not going to mention today. There's lots of reasons. I'm just going to hone in on one or two. The mandate and mission of the Son. Why was the seed planted? Why was it given? And do we actually still daily believe that as powerfully as He came to earth, today the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is still here to fulfill that work? I said, yeah, He's not only living Jesus from the Kinder Bible. He's not a far off historical figure. He's not a nice guy or just one of the good prophets. I wrote down here because I tasted it again this week and I needed to taste it. He is life. He is life. When death came knocking at my door, when sin came knocking at my door, I had to realize this week that the seed is as powerful, that the Spirit is still on the same mission as Christ was, and that He is life. He's not this interesting figure that we mention in church now and again or in small group. He is life. And I need Him. I realized my need afresh this week for Him. One of the first things, the reason why God sent His Son is, His Son was on a mission, had a mission. Who of you are visionary? Strong visionary people, visionary. So you like vision. You love people as well. Okay, cool. It's good to have a vision, and that your vision includes loving people. Otherwise, people get hurt. But it's good to have a vision. And so Jesus came with a mission. And His first one, I loved what He said, one of my favorite verses of all time, first red letter words in the Gospels. And He said to them, "Why did you seek Me? Did you not know that I must be about My Father's business?" This was age 12, 13, or 14. Got lost for 3 days. You know the story. His parents like, "Skies toch Jesus, waar was jy?" And he's like, we would have thought it's a bit arrogant, but he was just truthful to who he was and his mission. "Don't you know that I am about My Father's business?" And so sometimes the culture will ask you questions. They will come knocking at your door. "What are you busy with? Why are you shouting like that? Why are you worshiping like that? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that?" And you can just turn around as Christ and say, "Hey, don't you know I am about My Father's business?" I just realized sometimes God calls us for a cross, and He might call you to do weird things in life. Countercultural things. Counter family things. And people might judge the God-given cross that you've been given. But you can nod and smile and say, "Don't you know I am about My Father's business?" Out of that place of intimacy. So He was here on Father's business. He was here, John 17:4, "I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work." He's speaking to God Himself now. Accomplished the work that You gave Me to do. So He came with a mission to fulfill His work. And today the Spirit is still completing that work. You can go to the next slide. Another one for His mission was, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me." Now, this is actually maybe a good place to quickly stop and saying, if I'm a follower of Christ, if I'm a disciple of Christ, if I want to be Christ-like, I need to be au fait with what His mission was. Because His mission will truly also become my mission if His vision will become my vision to a big degree. Am I right? Do we see that in modern Christian circles? Jesus had an awesome mission. I've got kind of my own mission or vision. Have we seen that? Come on, moment of honesty. Amen. But the nice thing is we can go back to Scripture and say, "Lord, align my vision and heart and mission and make sure it fits through Yours. Else it's something of the flesh. It's something that will not reap the fruit that You've intended for my life. For I have come down from heaven not to do My will, but the will of Him who sent Me." And so this actually will kind of test your theology. It will test the things that you actually believe about God. I wrote down here just the conviction in my own life. These things is good to remember because our lives revolves around Him. In modern day Christianity, or just in life, with an entitlement culture, very often, much of life revolves around me. Even Christ came. If anybody could come to earth and say, let things happen around me, the party has just arrived, then it was Christ. But yet he came and he said, no, I humble myself as God, becoming man, humble myself and say, I'm not here for my will, I'm here to do his will. And so if you say, Lord, yes, to the lordship of my life, then it means that his vision becomes mine and his heart becomes mine. And doing the will of God becomes my life as well. Who's excited about that? Awesome. Amen. Amen. Who's found that difficult sometimes? Absolutely. Absolutely. I love the honesty, and I think that's necessary. But the Holy Spirit can help us. What is the second thing that he came for? The mission. Why did God send and sow this amazing seed, expecting a harvest? Because of the second thing, and this is probably the first thing, to seek and save. To seek and save. To seek and save the lost. We're not going to stand still at the scripture, but it's just a beautiful act of love that we can see here as we lead to the scripture in verse 10. Let's quickly read. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Who's got friends at SARS? Who's got rich friends at SARS? If you had a rich friend at SARS, would you like him or her? Okay, cool. Odd. I'm just joking. But so there was this guy, short guy. He worked for SARS and he was really rich. He was not well liked at all. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And so they, by the way, did not collect tax in a civil way that it is done today. It was done differently, but we don't have time to stand still on that. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. I daily want to seek who Jesus is. I daily want to know who he is. If you ever come to a place where you think you know who God is and Jesus is fully, just move on. Because we don't. We don't. That's the beauty. That's the magnificence of this walk. You get to know him more and more and more. To see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. He was small in stature. Let me not look to anybody small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now, we've read this all. You know what happened there? Let me tell you what happened there. The pastor said to him, Zacchaeus, by the Spirit of God, I sense you've been settling for the side salad all your life. But are you willing to go for the steak? Or are you going to just fall for the crowd? Zacchaeus, are you going to just get stuck in the crowd? Or are you willing to stand out? Are you willing to climb, not strive, not do dead works? Don't hear what I'm not saying. But are you willing to go hard after this Christ Jesus? Do you want the fullness? Do you want the steak? And obviously we know what the answer is. So he ran on ahead and climbed into the tree, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Whose house is ready for Jesus to come in today? So it's better come up, Liffy. Okay. So how many for Jesus in the voorkamer? So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Just imagine that moment. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. Who grumbled? The religious folk, the Pharisee spirit. They grumbled. Yeah, the short tax collector, the rich short tax collector that still climbs trees. Who of us are willing to childlike still climb trees for Jesus? I don't care. Anyway, different sermon. Before I get myself started. And when he saw it, they grumbled. He has gone into the guest of a man who is a sinner. Oh, imagine that, near Jesus. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord,
The half of my goods I give to the poor. Just imagine that. Just this God, this Jesus' mere presence just arrests everything that is in me. It's just like, I'm giving half away, and in fact, those I still owe, I'm going to give full fourfold. And I didn't brush my teeth. I'm sorry. It's just like, boom. When Christ just walks in, it's just like, it just does that. Not if religion, not if dead religion and the stuff of man walks in. No, no. If Christ walks in, you're just like, you can have it all. You can just have it all. I love this. And if I defrauded anyone in anything, I restore it fourfold. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house since he also is a son of Abram. And this is what we're going to take home. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So the seed was sown as an act of love, and through acts of love, it will not stop seeking and saving the lost. The Zacchaeuses, the ones that sometimes we might ignore, the ones that I might have written off, Christ is coming for. And He wants us to partner with that. We're going to do a series on this in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to go into depth. I'm walking on. I believe we need to get somewhere. But we need to be reminded that He came, His mission was to seek and save the lost. And hence, if I follow Him, part of my mission is what? To chill out and see how He seeks and saves the lost. No, that's definitely not. No, it's to seek and save the lost. The third thing that He came for, this reason why He was sown as an act of love by God, was to give eternal life. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If everyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Who had a slice? Who had a... What is this thing with the afbreak? A chunk. Who had a chunk of fresh bread of Christ in the Spirit this morning? I believe I did. He will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And so He said, I came as a seed for the world. Acts of love. We can't stand still. We're going to move on. Because this is where we need to come and stand still a bit. The fourth thing is, you can go to the next slide. Thank you. Jesus' mission, He came to do what? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I don't even want to mention the word devil too much in a sermon. But today I might have to. But the mere reason is, Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. If this morning I said, hey, who had an awesome week, and everybody got up, woo, it would have been different. But what we actually encountered is everybody said, we had a tough week. It is not because of the works of Christ that we had a tough week. It is not because of the work of Christ that we had a tough season. Oppression, depression, fear, anxiety, bondage, lust, perversion, whatever came knocking. But it's because of the enemy. 1 John 3:8 says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, and for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Does this excite you? Are you willing to push back? Are you willing to stand firm? And in saying this, it's Christ in you that pushes back. It's Christ in you and His Spirit that will be firm. But are you willing to stand up and say, God, bring me back into that place of true authority again. Standing upon Your Word. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. That's pretty hardcore. You can go to the next slide because we want to stand still. Thank you. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason why the Son of God appeared was that He wanted to destroy the works of the devil. Who has sensed any of the works of the enemy in their life lately? Who has reminded themselves that the seed that was sown by acts of love, the one that is still as potent, as powerful, as effective, and as on a mission as it was before, is still to the day, through the Holy Spirit, here to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. Who's got a relationship
that they know that Christ needs to be this, the one that destroys the works of the devil. Who's got something in their heart or mind? Something that the enemy's just come and worked into your life or condemned you with, that Christ needs to come afresh and destroy the work of the devil. Who believe that Christ wants to do that? Amen. I needed to come to that realization this week again. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, what's the works of the devil? Deception, condemnation, death, sin, bondage, fear, lust, perversion, destruction, robbery, pride, poverty. John 10:10 says that the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the works of the enemy. Kill, steal, and destroy in any area of life. Kill, steal, and destroy through what? Deceptions, lies, aggression, fear. Kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ came to give life and life in abundance. Jesus, we want that transition. Hey? What else? What is there that this is the work of the enemy? Confusion. Anything else? Division, yes. Conflict. Destruction. Addiction. I was actually thinking of that. Couldn't get the English word. Thank you, Miran. Addiction. What else? Doubt. Unbelief. Relational breakdown. Sickness. Marriage breakup. Pride. Pride. Absolutely. Children not honoring their parents. Yes. Sorry? Self-pity. Yeah. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Remember what we said earlier. Is that what he came for, the Spirit is still here for. What Jesus came for, the Spirit is still here for. Now, speaking of these things, these works of the enemy in our lives, in our hearts maybe, and in our families, I want to encourage you, what Christ came for, the Holy Spirit today is still here for, to destroy the works of the enemy. Some of us might think, oh man, this mountain has been in my family, this clippy has been in my shoe for 40 years. But I want to declare over you that the Spirit of Christ is today still here to destroy the works of the enemy. So that we, as children, as heirs, may have life and life in abundance. Now, how did I come to this? I'm not going to go into too much detail, but this is some application that I think is necessary because we want to bring this message home. You can go to the next slide. Thanks. I needed this week. And so last week was an amazing week. The week prior, we had Pastor Summit filled with the Spirit. Amazing times of worship. So many prophetic words. Just God just did stuff that you think you're full to the brim. And I just wanted, and I just had it on my heart, Lord, more. In church, we want more of you. Miracles, signs, and wonders will follow those belief. People full of faith, not of unbelief. Lord, just more, more, more. And so that is the thing that I pushed and that I trusted the Lord for. Same on Monday morning. Monday morning, I went to a school and we ministered there to teachers, powerfully just speaking into lives, like life-changing prophetic words. Amazing. Thank you, Lord, for the more. Monday night, we had men's Monday, if I remember correctly, just standing there and trusting, say, Lord, we want the more. We don't want to settle for the side salads. We want the more. But since then, Magistraat, there was an attack of note, and I'm not giving the enemy credit, and thank you, Lord, for your blood, even in what I share, because I share this just to remind us of the realities of life and the spiritual battles. And so, for the rest of the week, I had a boss, a lawyer, quite an astute lawyer, that usually said, after like massive couple of days we had in working on contracts, and he had late nights and stuff, he would sit and he would tell me, I feel like death warmed up. And so sometimes in walking the road of the Lord, the narrow road, it feels like you get knocked, there's a bit of an attack. And you get to a space and you're like, Lord, I don't know if I'm coming or going. And so I'm not going to get into all the details, but it was just such a thick heaviness in the spiritual realm, and so many lies and accusations and shame and condemnation coming to me the whole time. And in that process, you start questioning yourself. You start questioning stuff. Edna said it so beautifully earlier. Confusion starts coming in. And so I come from this mountaintop week into this place where, what the hell is in this valley? And what have I done to be here? Is it me? Is it him? Is it this? Is it that? What is it? And I'd be like, Lord, what is cooking? And it's constant. It does not stop. I dream about it. I wake up and it's just there. Get knocked down the whole time, spiritually. Start getting confused. I'm not going to bore you with the details, and there is people that know about it, and you don't have to worry about your pastor either. I just want to bring a truthful, honest thing to the table, because I believe if I get knocked like that, if the enemy comes hard after maybe me and my house, then unfortunately it is for all of us too. But we need to be wise. We need to remind ourselves of Scripture. We need to remind ourselves of the acts of love of God. We need to remind ourselves of why He came. We need to remind ourselves of the mission of Jesus. We need to remind ourselves that we still have the Spirit. Now, it took me a couple of days to get there, because this is, I think, the most heaviest attacks that I've sensed in years. But I had to come to that place just of honesty before the Lord and say, Lord, now come, speak to me. Now, how do you deal with this practically? It might be depression for you. It might be oppression. It might be fear. It might be anxiety. It might be a million and one things. The enemy doesn't think up new stuff. Don't worry. It always comes with old stuff, and it's stuff that somebody else has also suffered from. What helped for me is to be dead honest immediately. So I opened up my life for my accountability partner, for my wife, and I said, this is what the enemy is attacking me with. I'm trying to make sense of it, and it sucks. But this is it. And so I open up and I tell them. I get onto the phone and I say to the Men's Monday guys, I need prayer. And boom, 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 they start praying for me. And immediately there's a slight lift. And so this is my first thing that I would tell you, is that when the enemy comes in like a flood, walk in the light. I get back into Scripture and I need to remind myself who He is, what He did. Am I a new creation or an old creation? Who's ever wondered about that in the valley? Of course. So identity. So in that moment, I need to get back to Scripture. I need to get back to the prophetic words. I need to realize the battles that we've been fighting this last couple of months and the effect of that. And by saying all of these things, I give no credit to the enemy in Jesus' name. I want God's people to be equipped. I want us to be able to stand. So no credit whatsoever in Jesus' name. It was only until I came to realization. So sometimes sin comes knocking at your door and you just so desperately want to fight this dog. You just so desperately want to fight this sin. And so the harder I tried to kick this thing, the harder I tried to fight this sin, it is as if the more aggressive it came. Until a moment, love came and arrested me. And where I realized, I need not fight this sin. I need not fight this thing that comes knocking, comes for me. I need to realize that I'm loved. And then whatever comes in, whatever shape, form, or size it comes, and even if it comes through a human factor, that I do not fight, but I come in the opposite and I love. I choose to love. I choose to 1 Corinthians 13. So whatever comes knocking at your door, albeit oppression or poverty, fear, unbelief, lust, perversion, identity. On my way here this morning, I just heard the words identity theft. Whatever the enemy is trying is to know that you're loved, and whatever the enemy is throwing at you, to come in the opposite spirit of love. Now, in our case, sometimes there's even witchcraft that comes up, that actually came up this weekend. And then what does the word say I need to do? Bless those who curse you. Love them. Love. Lord, whoever is cursing the work of God in this church, whoever is cursing the work of God through us as a couple in our future, whoever is mocking, cursing, or sliming it with the enemy's lies, we just cut those things off and we love them. We bless them, Lord. We bless those who curse us and despisefully use us. And so, at the moment God came and He flipped the switch of love again on me, it was as if I could see again. And I know this is not applicable only in the battle that I fought this week. The thing that I felt came to sit on my back. But I know that love will always be the key in all of our battles. What is love for me? And what is love now applicable through me? What is love? What is love? What is love? And in the same sense, I realize that Jesus wants to keep on destroying the works of the devil. Maybe I come to a place where I think, oh, well, God's destroyed all of those things in my life. But there'll come seasons where the enemy tries his luck, and you just need to realize again, God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and today, through His Holy Spirit and Word, will not stop destroying the works of the devil in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your home, in your family, in our church, in our community. So if the enemy is trying to do stuff in this area, Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil. If he's trying to do stuff in our government and in our country, racially, economically, where should Christians be? On their knees, declaring the truth. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But here's the catch is, I need to take it. I need to take it up. Boldly, I need to take it up. Who's encouraged today to again just take up boldly the truth that Christ is fighting the devil's works in your life? Amen. 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 It wasn't a cheap seed, guys. There was not a cheap seed that is still today fighting for you and me. I sense it this week, and the battle is going on. God is constantly doing that. I just had to get to a humble place where I say, thank you, Lord. You are going to destroy the works of the enemy. Walk in the light, keep it in the light, and the Lord will destroy that. Just quickly, how am I going to do it? I mentioned you walk in accountability. You speak to somebody. Speak to somebody you trust. But the main thing is that is important is that you have the Holy Spirit. I said, yeah, He will always fight and destroy in the spirit by which He was sent and mandated. By which spirit and by which heart was God sending His Son? By love. How would the Holy Spirit fight your battles, destroying the works of the enemy? Through love. Because in and of Himself, He has no love. He cannot love. He can conjure up some cocktail that looks like it, but it's not. It's of hell and it kills. Let me not go into detail. But Christ will come. God will come. And He will fight through love. Acceptance. Truth of identity. Hope for calling. Hope for relationships. Destroying the works of the enemy in our lives through acts of love. Isaiah 61. Who knows Isaiah 61? How beautiful is this? Again, the mission of the Lord. But it starts off by saying the following, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. This is Christ speaking. Is it any different today for you and me? Is it any different today for you and me? Who believes in Jesus in this church? Good. Who according to the Word has received the Holy Spirit? Good. Is it any different for you or for me that what is said in Isaiah 61? No. Thank you. Well done, guys. That was just most amazing. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. The perfect seed that was sent to destroy the works of the devil, bring forth eternal life, and give me new life is upon me. To proclaim what? Good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Guys, if your heart is broken, the Spirit of God is upon you to bind it up. Don't settle. Don't be a victim. Don't stay there. Push back in love. Push back in truth. To proclaim freedom to captives. Who's ever felt captive? Yeah, of course. to proclaim freedom to for the captives. Thank you, Jesus. And release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It speaks of, I believe, the what is that word again? Jubilee. Christ is our jubilee. Every single year, every single day. Who takes us out of slavery? Who cancels our debt? Jesus. Only every 50 years? No. He does it every day. If you bring it to Him. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God. To comfort all who mourn. I'm comforted this morning. I was comforted this week. For the word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It does not say no weapon will form. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Who of you are the righteous? Shall we do that again? Who of you are the righteous? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. Thank you. Well done once again. Hallelujah. Comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. The oil of joy instead of mourning. And a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. When we come into the courts of the Lord, when we come to praise and worship, to what? To have a garment of praise. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of His splendor. And so Christ had a mandate, and today through His Spirit it's still ours. What He came for, the Spirit is still here for. What Jesus came for, the Spirit is still here for. And what is the weapon that it will fight and destroy the works of Satan in my life? Act of love, act of love, act of love. What will He use you for after His love on you first? Act of love, act of love, act of love. What is our community craving for? What is the next generation craving for? What is the bondage of this generation needing? Act of love, act of love, act of love. Why? Because the Son is not changed, for He will destroy the works of the enemy in Jesus' name. Will you stand with me, please? I'm so stoked I even missed my last point. You can go to the last one, thanks. Let's put on love. There's one with scriptures, thank you. And above all these, put on love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So when you do struggle, when you get attacked, when you get slapped by the enemy, before we know the battle is not in the flesh but in the spirit, what? You put on love. You put on love. You remind yourself of who He is and what He came for. The Spirit is still here for. Let's close our eyes, guys. If this morning, the scripture says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. If this morning you feel like you are lost in this season of your life, just with all eyes closed. And this morning that through the Holy Spirit, you've just sensed that the Son of Man, that Jesus Christ has this morning come to seek and save you. We just want to create a moment that you can just raise your hand and say, this is me. I believe this morning is a morning that I want to totally, entirely give my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect seed that is capable. For He is seeking me and He is saving me in this moment. If that's you, just raise your hand this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then and secondly, that was on my heart. If you just want the Lord to just affirm and reaffirm the faith in your heart that He has not changed. The reason why He came has not changed. Do you just want to raise your hand and say, Lord, I just declare, I realized maybe the enemy has deceived me in thinking that it's Jesus light or it's just a bit less or it's maybe worn off a bit over the decades and the millennia gone by, but you're still the same. The power of your sacrifice is still the same. I just want to declare by raising my hand this morning, saying, I believe that you're the same strong, mighty seed of God that will reap a harvest eternally, but also in my life, body, soul, and spirit, destroying the works of the devil and in my family. Thank you for these hands of faith, saying, Lord, have your way. Maybe repeat after me if you've got peace. Jesus Christ, thank you that you came to seek and save me. Thank you, Lord, that you also came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus, I give you permission through your Holy Spirit and love to destroy the works of the devil in my life and through my life as you will. Amen. And just the last thing. Maybe there's some of the works that you just want to bring to the Lord. There's a couple of things that I just sensed in praying last night. I heard the words depression, disappointment, and disillusionment. Thank you, Lord. If some of these things are applicable, you just bring it personally. You just bring it to the Lord. Just say, Lord, you're going to break that off. You're going to destroy this morning. For someone, I saw a picture that it feels like your one foot is constantly bound by your past. I saw like this leather strap on your one foot, and it's like this. Your one foot is just bound by the past. Thank you, Lord. We're going to trust in prayer this morning that the Lord breaks these works of the enemy. Fear, which is a pretty obvious one, but still I just sensed fear. Lord, I just put up my hand wherever there's fear, doubt, and unbelief. Thank you that you just come and destroy that through faith and love. And then someone, I just sense sometimes it feels that you're not in your right mind. Just in a moment you feel you're not in your right mind. That's just the words I heard. Feels not in right mind. We're going to afterwards just pray against these things. Sickness. There's somebody that walks with a limp. Just heard there's somebody that physically walks with a limp. Might be spiritually, but I sense it was a physical thing. Physical ailment. We're going to pray against this work of the enemy. Headaches. But I distinctly heard that it's like you, like almost klokslag. Every second day you get headaches. It's like almost second day you get a headache. Don't know if there's anybody like that. Then somebody, kidneys. I heard the Afrikaans word niere. Kidneys. If anybody has something that they struggle with in their kidneys, we'd like to pray with you. Then lies of divorce. I heard lies of deception of divorce. That the enemy wants to come and sow, but the Lord will crush that today. And then somebody might have a child that is in bondage and nobody knows about it. Just since I heard the words child in bondage, nobody else knows about it. Either the person is here or they might listen to the sermon at a later stage. And then heard the last two things. I heard secret sins and identity theft. It's as if the enemy has come through his works just to steal your identity, that you have no clue who you are. Now there's a couple of major things. We'd just like some of us just to pray in the Spirit with me. Just under your breath, just pray in the Spirit. And then if any of these things was something that the Lord has spoken into your life, any bondage or things that is in your life, and you would like us just to communally pray for you, just raise your hand and say, one of those things is something that the Lord needs to break in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for these hands. It's not for me. It's just between you and the Lord. If one of those things was applicable, depression, disappointment, and disillusionment, one foot bound by the past constantly, fear, sometimes to feel like you're not in your right mind, somebody that walks with a limp, headaches every second day, kidney issues, lies of divorce, a child in bondage, but nobody knows about it, secret sins and identity theft that you've just sensed in your life. Just raise your hand if that's for you, and we're going to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that we stand upon your scripture today, and thank you, Lord, that we know that your word says that the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. And this is not the fruit of the Spirit, nor the fruit of love in our lives, that we just come and confess now, Lord. We repent for every falling, for any form of deception, but thank you, God, that we come now and say, Jesus, have your way. Jesus, have your way. In each and every one of these things, Jesus Christ, have your way. With simplicity and childlike faith, we just declare and stand on the word of God, Jesus, have your way, through the Holy Spirit and his power, in Jesus' name. Thank you for love that will come and cast out fear. Thank you for love that will come and touch and bring forth healing. Thank you for love that will come and be the fiercest weapon to save us, body, soul, and spirit, and to save these families and these children and these people that need it this morning, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Christ, that you do know, and you will not stop before the full harvest comes in, and before we have the full harvest in our lives, life and life in abundance. Holy Spirit, please help us Please help us. Please encourage us to always be reminded why Christ came. And through love, what He will do and wants to accomplish. Let us not ever settle for a victim, a place of victimhood, a place of bondage, thinking that this is the way it is. This is as good as Christianity is going to get in this age. We rebuke that lie. We're not going to settle for side salads if you've prepared something else. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank You also, Lord, just lastly, no backlash and whiplash after this morning, because I know You've done mighty works and You will. But we just say thank You. No weapon formed against any of us will prosper. In Jesus' name, hide us under Your wing. Hide us under Your wing as we plead the blood of Christ over us. In Jesus' name, amen.